Speed limits.
And I always tell people, if you're really bad, I'm going to go like this and just get everything you say and then send it to your mother. Or play it for the whole, all of the parents on Parents Day. This is what your child did. No. I've never had, actually, my senior analysis used to like to try to get me to say something bad, and then I couldn't use the whole podcast. Now that I know how to edit, I have a new program, Audacity, lets me edit things out. I can edit things out. I couldn't do it last year. All right, trig limits. If you know L'Hopital's rule, you can use it to check a problem, but you can't use it to do a problem. If you know L'Hopital's rule, if you don't, I'm going to teach you L'Hopital's rule before the test. Like I said, it is a way to solve limits, and when it comes down to an AP exam, you can use anything you want. But for now, I want you to practice those trig limits, because again, when you do it mathematically, you're using the theory, and I want to make sure the theory is there before we go to the little tricks. Okay, and today we're just doing the first basics of trig limits, not trig subs. We'll do trig subs next week. The D if you had Mr. Tran, the H if you had Mrs. Lee, where you set limit is x approaches pi over 2, and so you let d equal x minus pi over 2, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, but we're doing just the basics, and these are the basics. That is, you remember that if x goes to 0, the limit of sine x is 0? That should make sense to you, because the sine of 0 is 0. If you think about the graph of the sine function rises and crosses the x-axis at 0, 0. Draw a little picture. Is there an eraser? Oh, right behind you, David. Would you mind just grabbing that eraser for me?
Thank you very much.
That's a graph of sine x. It goes to 0, 0, rising. It's an inflection point, if any of you remember that. I had to teach my husband inflection points last night. He's taking the praxis this weekend. And he remembered from high school. He must have had a teacher that was almost as awesome as me. And the limit of cos x, you can giggle the nature of the there. It makes me feel really good. And the limit of cos x as x goes to 0 is 1, because you're approaching 1 from both sides. Cos of 0, 1. Might be a little bit of a tough recall, so if it is tough, go back and look over your trig notes. These are the two that are not as obvious, but they are provable, and I'm going to prove one of them today, just because, like I always say, you're going to be doing this stuff in college. Your professors are going to be teaching you theory. Your TAs are going to be probably doing problem sets with you, which is kind of what we do. We do both. We do the theory, but we always also do some practice problems. Limit as x goes to 0 of sine x over x equals 1. What was the trick for this kind of problem? What did you always have to make sure they matched? Remember?
Oh, the coefficient of x.
The coefficient of x and this coefficient of x. Like, you could have a 2x over a 2x. You could have a 12x over a 12x. And there were shortcuts we had last year. I'll remind you of them. And the limit as x goes to 0 of 1 minus cos x over x is 0. You don't do these problems nearly as much as you do these problems. And I'll remind you of them. It's okay. Now I'm going to prove the derivation of number 3. Did anyone not get all those? Okay. Derivation of number 3 uses the sandwich theorem, which we talked about yesterday. Again, why did we go over the sandwich theorem? Just to kind of understand what's going on. And I'll tell you this, about 80% of the time I show you derivations, you don't have to write them down, you don't have to memorize them, you don't have to do anything but try to follow them. That way you're thinking a little bit more theoretically next year when you take any sort of class that talks about mathematical theory, statistics, anything like that. Okay, I'm going to draw a little circle. And that little, or I'm going to draw a whole circle, but I'm going to only focus in it on that little portion of the circle in quadrant 1. And that little circle has an origin of O, has a point on the circle P. P draws, if I draw a perpendicular from P, it hits the x-axis at M. That line OP is called the terminal ray that moves around the circle. Everyone still with me? Yay, doesn't this feel good? It'll look a little crazy in a bit, but it'll be all right. Now, I'm gonna label those signs. Now, does everyone, the radius is gonna be 1, just as an easy
So if the radius of, is 1, think about it. Isn't this x? And adjacent over hypotenuse is the cosine of a function. And this height is y. And the opposite over the hypotenuse is sine. Think about it this way. Cos is adjacent over hypotenuse. So that means the adjacent side for this one is cos times 1. Sine is equal to y over 1, which means the y side is equal to sine. Everyone okay on that? All right. Now I'm going to make a little extension. This takes a minute, but you'll probably get it right away. I'm going to draw one more line that goes from point Q perpendicular, it's at point U. Tell me about triangle OMP and triangle OUQ. Similar, good. And because the length here is 1, that's length UQ is actually going to be able to be tangent X. How come? Because OMP and OUQ are similar triangles, AASIM. The height of OMP is sine X. And so since you can think of this as being a scale factor, you know, the scale factor of the two triangles will create this side being tan X. Think about it. This original triangle has a side of 1, cos, and sine. The bigger triangle, this side becomes 1, because this is the radius still. Remember, this is the radius. This is 1 unit. That was 1 unit. I came down. This is 1 unit. So what's the scale factor from this triangle to this triangle? Remember scale factors, the sides over top of each other? I'd have to multiply this side by 1 over cos to become 1, which means I'd multiply this side by 1 over cos to get tangent. That's probably the hardest thing to see. Everything else is based on formulas. Okay, is everyone okay with the idea that triangle OMP, area is 1/2 base times height, which means 1/2 OM times MP? Fair, 1/2 base times height? Okay, is everyone okay with the idea that the triangle OUQ is 1/2 base times height, OU times UQ, which would be 1/2 1, because OU is length 1, and UQ is sine over cosine, which is tangent. Everyone all right on that? Everyone okay on the fact that, okay, this is the weird one. Area of a sector is 1/2 the radius times the central angle. That's the one that people don't remember, the pizza slice. You may be used to x over 360, pi r squared, something like that. But if you change it and convert it to radians, 1/2 times the radius times the central angle, that's the area of the sector. Okay, what do you think is smallest? Triangle OMP, OUQ, or the sector? Which one has the smallest area? Yeah, OMP. Which one has the biggest? So what's in the middle? The sector. So the area of the small triangle is less than the area of the sector, which is less than the area of the giant triangle. Everyone still with me? It's all geometry so far. A little bit of trig. Okay. I now filled in the relationships. This one is right here. This one is right here. This one is the one that I forgot to type in. OM. OM is cosine. MP is sine. So 1/2, and I put it sine times cos instead of cos times sine. Everyone following so far? Okay. Now, at this point, I'm going to leave that little bottom thing here because I can't go to the next, I'm going sort of to the next page. I want to leave that there so you can see how I did that. Now, this is a little weird. How did the 1/2 go away? How did I go from here to here? Multiply by 2, exactly. Now, so this is now just a sine cos, but it becomes a cos. What would I have to multiply this by? 1 over sine, this one by 1 over sine, this one by 1 over sine, and that becomes the next equation. The cos for the triangle is less than x over sine x, which is less than 1 over cos x. Now, let's take the limit of each piece. These are three functions that have a relationship where the cos is on the bottom, the x over sine is in the middle, and the 1 over cos is on the top. The sandwich theorem, it's also called the squeeze theorem. One's on the bottom, one's on the middle, one's on the top. Let's take a limit. Let's take a limit as x goes to 0. As x goes to 0, cos of 0, we know, is 1. 1 over 1 is 1, what does that mean the limit as x goes to 0 of x over sine x has to be? 1. Turn it over. We're used to both of them. Yes?
I don't really understand how you can use the sandwich theorem for that.
Well, the sandwich theorem says if we know that 3 functions are in a certain relationship, okay, and the 2 outside ones go to the same limit, then the one in the middle, as long as it's in between, is going to go to the same limit.
Okay, so that can work with like any like area or length?
As long as the functions hold their relationship, and as long as the 2 outer ones go to the same limit, then the one in the middle is going to go to the same limit. It doesn't work if it goes like this. Sandwich theorem doesn't work. It may work here, where the relationship holds. But the whole idea, as long as you are looking at a limited value from A to B, of the relationship staying steady, bottom, middle, top, and if suddenly somewhere in there, bottom and top go to the same number, middle's gonna have to go to the same number. Okay, that's all the sandwich theorem is really saying. If you take out your graphing calculator, we're not gonna do it today because we don't have enough time, but if you take it out and graph sine x over x and look at smaller and smaller values of x and watch it, you'll actually see the graph so nicely. Just kinda go up and then you'll have the littlest hole here and then down. And you'll see the numbers get really, really, really close to 1. Have you ever played around with the table and changed the table? Have you ever done that? We'll do that sometime when we have more time. If you play around with the table and change the stepping of the table, it'll change the x values it plugs in for you. You don't have to plug in 0.91, 0.92. It'll plug those numbers in for you. So if I make a table where the table plugs in negative 0.3, negative 0.2, negative 0.1, I'm going to see it getting higher and higher and higher. And then it goes back down lower. So sine x over x, that is why its limit is equal to 1. Never again are you going to have to reproduce that. I just kind of wanted you to follow the logic. Did you follow about maybe 75% of it? Okay, maybe even anyone feel like they followed pretty much 90%, maybe all of it, close to? If not, that's okay. If you want to come see me about it, that's fine. If you don't want to, if you're like, well, I don't have to use it, fine. All right. But again, the practice. Theory is great. Test problems are going to be about the practice of the theory. Does anyone remember the shortcut for this answer? It's just 3. Now, theoretically, you have to make the x's match. Limit as x goes to 0 of sine 3x over 3x. Oh, I'm sorry, over x. To make them match, I have to throw in a coefficient on the bottom. But if I multiply the bottom by 3, I got to multiply the top by 3. You do not have to do this. This is what we teach you the first time we do it, and then go right to all your shortcuts. This limit right here, now the arguments match. The limit of that is 1. 1 times 3 is equal to 3. The limit of that is 3. And you guys are probably used to saying 3 over 1, 3. Yeah? Okay? Let's get moving. How about that one?
1/3.
Don't even write them down. We're going to do these. How about this one?
Sine 3x over sine 3.
Yeah. It's sine 3x times sine 3x over x times x. If these problems mess you up, the big trick is just write them out. Write both of them out. Give the x's to the bottom. That's a 3. That's a 3. 3 times 3 is 9. Familiar? Vaguely? Losing you somewhere? Something that I wrote isn't clear? Something I said isn't clear? All right. There's 2 x's, but there's 1/3. Oh, so if one of them is in there, that one's going to be 1. 3 times 1 is 3. So the whole goal in all the problems is make sure every sign has an x on the other side. It doesn't have to be the same coefficient because things will cancel. But make sure you can find an x to go, an x factor to go with every sign. All right? Try this one. This isn't so bad.
Oh, I can do it.
Oh, I'm changing the homework assignment tonight. Well, let's see what we get through. Have an idea what to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
You factor out.
What do you mean by factor out?
You just do x minus sine of 3x over x times x plus sine.
You could do that. You'll get the same place. It's going to be a little bit slower though. You see how there's that minus sign in between? There's really a bunch of limits being evaluated, right?
Oh, or you could just.
You could split it early. You're going to eventually split it, Scott. You're just going to do it a little bit later. I could just go right there. If you factor it, you're going to have x over x minus sine 3x over x times x over x plus sine 3x over x. But by splitting it here, I can take the limit of each piece. What's that going towards?
1.
It's not getting there. 0 over 0, we know, doesn't exist, but it's what it appears to be going towards. Minus, and we just did this problem. What was this one?
9.
1 minus 9 is negative 8. Why does it go to 1? Because it's the same thing top and bottom?
You don't put in 0.
Well, but you can't, right?
Okay.
But put in 0.01.
Okay.
Square, square, it's going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Not going to do that. I want to do, nope, not that, not that. Hold on. Not that. Oh, actually, let's talk about that last problem. We're going to jump back and do the other ones in a minute. How about number 8? Write that down as number 1, 2, 3, 5. Write that down. And think about the graph I did yesterday where I showed you the three different functions and the relationship between the three functions. We can't plug in infinity, but we can talk about what happens as x gets really, really huge. How about the top? What does it go to? It's huge. What about the bottom?
Max is at 1.
Max is at 1 and min's at? It just kind of rotates around, right? X is getting huge. No limit. Does not exist. It's not going towards positive infinity, because sometimes it's going towards negative infinity, sometimes it's going towards positive, it's bouncing back and forth. But it's just getting bigger. As the top gets huge, the bottom kind of stays. Does not exist. What about? Oh, I'm sorry, no, flip that over. Sorry. Oh no, wait. No, I still want it flipped over. Because I want to remind you of something you can't do. 5x squared minus 3x cubed in the bottom, and the sine squared of 5x in the top. Now, in that problem up there, we split between the minus signs, so we had two different terms and we could evaluate each term. Are we permitted to do that here? Why not? Because there's two on the bottom. Think about this. 1 over 4 minus 3. What do we know that number is? 1. Is that the same thing as 1 fourth minus 1 third? No. It can't split if it's in the denominator. It can split if it's in the numerator, but not in the denominator. Try with numbers. All right, so I can't split. Is there anything I could do? Could factor in the bottom. And then split. And keep them as being multiplied, but I've got the sine squared 5x times, the biggest thing I can take out of there is an x squared times 1 over 5 minus 3x. Oh, 0. Sorry. I got excited.
We don't have to rewrite that for every step we do, right? We rewrite the limit.
Oh, do I need to see you write limit as x approaches 0? It's a good idea at the beginning to remind yourself of what you're doing, and especially with trig limit problems. I know Mrs. Lee. Right. It is very easy to make a mistake. I'm not going to take off if you don't, but you need to be very careful. Yeah. Okay, so what does sine squared 5x over x squared go towards? 25, because it's sine 5x times sine 5x over x squared. I'll write that down for you. You don't have to show this to me. If you get the right answer, I'm going to give you credit. But again, make sure you do know where it's coming from. And in the bottom, this is one where you can plug in x going to 0, because what does that denominator go to? 5, 1 fifth. 5 over 5. Oh, what a convenient answer. 5. 25 divided by 5 is 5. All right. Now, yeah, we're going to stop here. Scott's exhausted. We're all going to stop. No, you know what? It's been long. And you know what? Trig derivatives are something. The second ones where you do the trig subs, I want to just approach that next week. So let me give you the homework, but let me tell you what problems I want you to do and what problems I do not want you to do. 2, 3 for the three of you. David, could you start this along the back row, please?
Thanks.
And Maddie, could you pass that among the four of you, please? 4, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, very small class in here. A small but lovable class. All right. For tonight, I want her for, sorry, Tuesday. We will not meet again until
Tuesday.
I won't be here Monday. So it's not like there's going to be a class without you guys. You're all seniors. I want you to do 5, 6. 6 is a problem you're going to have to think about. 9, 12, 13, and 14. Number 14 is tricky. 5. And that will be it for today. Thank you. Have a great weekend and a great rest of your day.